It's an honor to have the voice of Petra, John Schlitt, here on the Antidote for a Talk. John, this is a big pleasure.
Oh, Dave, well, thank you very much for being interested in what I'm doing, what Petra's doing. I just appreciate it.
Well, of course, over the years, you've had a lot of members. And now I've already said that you're handling the vocals, but we can't forget about the other guys. How about filling us in on who's involved?
Okay, well, first of all five of us did the production, which is a first for Petra. We've never done that before. Bob Hartman did all the writing except his son, I think, helped him on two songs. John Lowry, keyboard, one of the best in the country, and just amazing. Bob is also a guitar player who has done all the parts there. Then we have Christian Barneo, who is our drummer out of Argentina, and Greg Bailey, who's our bass player. Both those guys have been with us for about as long as anyone else in the history of the band. So this is really the heart and soul of Petra and has been for a long time.
Over the years, Petra has had so many honors. 4 Grammys, 10 Dove Awards, and 10 million records sold. But I think the biggest thing is that the band has been in the music scene since 72. Now, John, it wasn't until 86 that you joined Petra. So right. Here we go. How's your memory? You got to tell us, what were you doing in 72?
Oh, boy. In 72, I was just getting into a secular band. I had just graduated from college, getting into a secular band that I had helped form 3 years before that called Head East. We were just developing a set for our bar band situation. It was, I was in a totally different direction. I was in music, but I was a secular musician who worked very hard to be skillful in what I do. And I went on an adventure there until 1980, which went from a sock hop band to a college bar band to a touring band, doing our own record, which exploded. We ended up, the musician's dream, touring in front of thousands of people every night. The problem with that was the dream can get old and start looking for the next adventure of each night if you're doing it every night. I mean, almost every night. My adventure, I'm afraid that without Christ, I was, first it was booze and then it became cocaine and ended to a point where my day depended on how much coke I had. And the band actually fired me in 1980. And it wasn't like they were angels either, but apparently I was a lot worse than they were. Went on a binge for 6 months after that as an excuse of starting my own band, showing him I didn't need him. But the truth was, all I was doing was staying coked up or drunk pretty much 24 hours a day for 6 months. And at the end of that, I decided that suicide was the best answer for me and my family. And the only reason I'm here today is that same 6 month period, my wife gets saved, becomes a Christian, and basically says, I had missed our graduation party that friends were throwing for us on August 28th. And I got really drunk as always. And usually what happens is I do coke and sober up. I couldn't find any coke. So I passed out on my couch, missed the party. And the next morning I was there on my couch for the first time. Normally my wife would drag me into bed so our kids wouldn't see the condition I was in. Woke up on the couch. My one-year-old son is looking at me like, why are you here, Dad? You know, just like little one-year-olds do. Mm. And a voice says, you know, you're worth more dead than alive. Mm. I totally agreed. I said, you know, that's very true. So I sat on my chair trying to figure out. I said, I'm not going to use a gun. I don't want my kids to see the mess. And I started thinking about what kind of combination of pills I could get in that location that would be as quick and painless as possible. And my wife taps me on the shoulder and says, remember, John, you promised you'd come and talk to my pastor tonight. I said, when? She says, last night when you were drunk. And you know what? I said, okay, fine. I'll come and talk to you, Pastor, because she'd been bugging me about it for 6 months. And I went with the attitude that I wanted her to remember I tried. No qualms about changing my mind. But I walked to that pastor's house. I walked in with an attitude and walked out with the Holy Spirit. My whole world changed. I didn't realize how much bondage or how much weight was on my shoulders until it was lifted off. And I walk out going, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, what have I been going through? And that was the beginning of a new life for me. And that was 1980. And I totally had to give up music, totally, because I still had that band that I was putting together. And that's when we started going out. And the temptations were way too much. I could tell I was going to fall, and did many times, actually. And the little church that I was going to at the time was praying for me. And I'd come home after weekend, and they knew I needed prayer. And finally, I just said, I can't handle this anymore. So I left music altogether. I had graduated as a civil engineer out of college and started using that, and ended up working in a mining construction company. Did that for about 5 years, knowing that I would never sing again. I mean, I truly knew I'd never sing again. I was too old. I was like 35. And so then all of a sudden out of the blue, Bob Hartman calls me. And by this time, that's the only music I could listen to was Petra and maybe Phil Kagi. It was closer to the kind of music that I enjoyed. When I heard Petra, I said, oh my gosh, this is what rock and roll can be. This is how it can be used. And but Bob called me and said, John, are you still a Christian? I said, I'm a heavy duty Christian, Bob. And he said, Greg is leaving, and we would like to know if you consider singing for Petra. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. And I said, yes, let's do it. And he goes, well, don't you think you should pray about it? And I'm going, oh, man, yes, but I knew. I think 6 months later, I'm singing in Brisbane, Australia, in front of about 6,000 people for the first time sober in 7 years, you know, singing in front of people. It was quite an experience. And that was like yesterday. And all of a sudden, you know, almost 40 years later, God is putting us together and doing a new album, and maybe one of the best we've done and what we've ever done. So God is God, and he has a plan that's so amazing. And no one, I guarantee you, none of us ever thought that we'd be doing another album. But the circumstances came together, and the need arised, and the skill hadn't left, and we were able to do it on our own, and it was very exciting.
What a story. That's wonderful. I got to tell you that when I told someone that I was going to be having a chat with you about Petra, they were surprised that the band was back recording music. What about you, John? Were you surprised to be back into the studio with the guys?
Yes. With these guys, yes. Remember, during these 20 years of not recording with Petra, I started up my solo career again, and I think I recorded like four albums in between that time period. Mm-hmm. So I was still recording, but the fact of recording with Petra was really, it didn't even dawn on me. I mean, we would go out every once in a while for like revivals or benefits or this kind of thing, usually in South America, to get together again. I mean, we still are good friends. We still love each other. I mean, I'm playing with four of the best musicians in the country, in the world, I think, that know what it means to be a Christian rocker. And we would end the shows and come back, flying back, and go, yeah, we should do an album. We should do another album. And that lasted about, the flight back. And then I would contact Bob the next day and say, well, you ready to write? Oh, I just don't think we should. And so it was that routine. So I stopped calling. I just said, okay, yeah, we should do another record, sure. But circumstances came together on this one, and the drive to do it and the doors opening were astonishing, to tell you the truth. And it just came together. You know, we had worked for 3 years on the anniversary tour, It took us 3 years to cover everyone that wanted to see us one last time. Mm-hmm. And so that really stoked something in us, I think, just having refreshing on how we functioned, the songs that we played over the 50 years. It was really cool to hear these songs again. And it really was a refreshing, I think, for everyone. Enough to when someone mentioned, hey, we want to do a record with you guys, instead of going, oh, no, I think all of a sudden everybody goes, you know what? Let's do it. But I'll be honest, we did it for the folks that we talked to on meet and greets over the 3 years of, you know, our 50th anniversary tour, because they were, I mean, they're such sweet, nice people that really appreciated what we could tell that Petra's music had made a difference in their lives. And they kept, please, one more, one more. And we thought, you know what, we could do another one. We'll do it ourselves. It won't be quite as expensive as we're doing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we said, let's go for it. And really with the thought that this is for folks that will be pleased that we did it, knowing that after 20 years, we didn't think anyone else would even notice that we still existed. And that was a little bit of a surprise for us.
Well, the new album is titled Hope, and I think much of the world is searching for that right now. But did Petra have something specific in mind with that album name?
Not when we first started. This album took us over a year to do, which is the longest time period we've ever had. But that's part of the reason, because we're our own label. We produced it ourselves and all that. But by the time it was over, by the time it was finally finished, there was no doubt that it should be called Hope, just with what we've gone through in the last year, you know, with everything going on in the world. And it just absolutely made sense. Our first song that came out, Deliver Us, mm-hmm. that had to be the first single, and that really wasn't going to be. But just for what it said, that had to be the message we wanted to start the record out with. And it just has come together, and we're so excited about it.
Well, almost all the album's songs include the word hope in the lyrics, like Miracle Maker.
Yep.
In the midst of our despair, when our hope is running dry, we lift our voices to the heavens, to the one who hears our cry. Now, these aren't simple, casual hopes. These ones are going deep.
Yeah. The one thing I said to Bob, I said, Bob, please, let's make sure that this is absolutely, no doubt in mind, a Christian album. No compromise. And of course he wasn't going to do that. I said, all I want, let's make it exciting, but let's make sure no one will hesitate in realizing we're singing about Christ. It had to be a Christian album, because that's what Petra is about. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what the folks that enjoy what we do or what we've done said. We love the fact that you don't compromise. You are very straightforward about what you're saying. And I think the world needs to hear it. I mean, the world needs to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is our hope. He is our miracle maker. He puts a skin in the game. He is the purpose for why we do what we do.
You know, I think a standout about Hope is the big range of music styles. Were you intentional about stretching Petra's sound?
Absolutely. The more unusual it can be, the better. For instance, you're probably going to talk about Oxygen.
100%.
Okay. When Bob showed me that song, I said, you got to be kidding me, buddy. He said, well, you know, it's different. It's something we've never done before. And when I heard the words, I said, first of all, I love the words. I love the words. And I really loved the song. It was one of the few songs that when I first heard the scratch of what he wanted to do, I already saw the vision. With Bob, man, when he shows me songs, it's like, what? What? And it takes a while to finish building it to where I start seeing the vision. But Oxygen was probably my favorite demo of the whole record.
That Caribbean flavor is just wild.
Well, you know, if you do everything that everyone expects and there's no surprises at all, there's nothing to talk about, you know? And so, I mean, listen to the words. I don't know if we'll do it live, But I guarantee you, when I go out as a solo artist, I'm going to be doing that song live.
I'm glad to hear that. So you and I both live in capitalist countries. So the song Filthy Lucre is aimed at us. And it says, they build their towers high and mighty on the backs of those in need, never seeing, never caring, blinded by their endless greed. The main point is how money distracts us from our faith. But the thing is that some church leaders preach that we can become affluent by asking God.
Yes.
Are they messed up?
Let's put it this way. I would prefer our pastors not talk, you know, not basically define our faith and our success. You know, I don't think that Christians are supposed to be poor, but I don't think Christians are supposed to be rich either. It's up to God. Our finances, it's fleeting. Money is fleeting. What we should be wanting, our success story should be how deep we are in with the Holy Spirit, with Christ. How are we functioning as Christians? Not how successful are we? I think that song really says it all. Don't judge God's blessings by the riches that you have. They're fleeting. They're wrong. And when Bob wrote that, it's like, oh, this is a great song.
It's a great album.
Oh, thank you. I was very pleased. The guys worked very hard. If there was a song that felt like it hadn't hit it yet, we went back and redid it. We changed things. We wanted to make sure that every song on this record could be a single in the minds of our fans. In other words, we don't want anybody shifting to the next song because that one's not that great. We had one last chance to give them 10 songs, and we wanted to make sure those 10 songs all made sense, were a blessing to anyone who wanted to hear it, and would be memorable.
You know, I want to put you on the spot here for a second, John. Is it possible to use a single word to describe what Petra is all about?
Yeah. Christ.
Christ. Keep it simple. I know there were so many single words I could have chosen, but that's what the heart of it is.
Yeah. There's a purpose in what we do. There's a joy in what we do because that's how God does it. I think as musicians, we have to give our all on stage, off stage. But as Christians, it's a 24-hour job. And if it's a blessing, it can work so well. And singing about Christ has always been a major blessing. And he's allowed us to use the music style that we love to do it. Oh my gosh, it's never been a burden. It's always been an amazing adventure. And the fact that we are able to sing about the most exciting subject matter in the history of mankind, that's Jesus Christ, and do it in an exciting way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Petra's about.
Well, I'm not going to be pushing you away for a few more minutes yet because there's more that I want to talk about. When I first saw the song title, We Rejoice in Hope, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be like a straight-up worship track. And it is, but Petra turned it into a pop-punk song. So now, it really made me curious to think, what style of music would Petra never do?
Well, punk comes close. I'm really not excited about punk that much, but a worship song should be exciting. Remember, even though we're antique as far as age, we still have a real heart for the young. Because the young, they are hungry for knowledge, they're hungry for truth, and they get bombarded constantly by the internet, by peer pressure, to just absolutely anti-Christ type of things. So if we can do a music form that can relate to them, and do a worship song that can relate to them, we're doing it. It's very exciting. It's an exciting worship song. And when I first heard it, I'm going, oh man, you're playing too fast. It's too fast. And man, by the time it's over, I'm going, yeah, this is what we want to do. This is good. And my wife, who is a pretty staunch listener of what we do, that's her favorite song. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, no, that's so exciting. It's exciting worship music. I said, wow, okay, good for you. And so after she said that, I'm going, oh, this is a winner. This is a winner. And you know what's cool about it is it's got several different changes in it.
Uh-huh.
That make it very interesting. Now, granted, there's enough repeat that it can be a worship song, but then there's a couple of changes in it that sort of not throw you off, but just give you some fresh insight in singing. So I loved it. I was afraid it was going to be the weak song on the record, and no, it ended up being probably one of the strongest.
I'm a pop punk fan, so you grabbed me with that one.
Good. Again, when punk first came out, I was very unhappy about it because it just seemed like it was you went out of your way to be bad musicians. You know, I grew up in the hair band years, the rock years in the 70s, and where a band, you had to be really good at what you did because if you recorded it, you had to play it live. And I mean, some amazing musicians crossed my path. And when punk came out, it was like, ugh. But this kind of punk is all the negatives that punk usually I equated with were not part of this song. It was just a drive. I call it driving, okay? That's a driving. But a lot of people are calling it punk. And I'm going, okay, if that's the language you want to use, that's cool.
Well, I've got to tell you that I've got a personal connection with Petra because decades ago, I accepted Christ at a Petra concert.
Oh, praise God.
Long after that, I started hosting this program, The Antidote, you know, where Christian music doesn't suck. But I've been thinking that we must have been destined to have this talk.
Well, Dave, I'm so glad we do. You know, thank you for, wow, thank you for telling me that. You don't understand how that warms my heart when someone says that. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. That's very cool.
That is what your band has always been about, drawing people to Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we were back in our heydays, which was whenever, I think we'd have several heydays, it was always the most important thing to us. Before we walked on stage, we asked, and we still do, Lord, help us to stay out of the way. Let us walk on as clean vessels and let your will be done. And we always knew that, I mean, the whole purpose of Christian music is to bring the message of Christ to saved and unsaved. Originally, it was all unsaved. We were an evangelistic band, you know, doing parks and all that kind of stuff. And then it became an evangelistic and edification. It's always been a double purpose for years. Probably when I joined the band, it was already a double purpose band because Petra had been so well known and a lot of the Christians had identified with them. And so we came a sort of a double whammy and have never regretted a minute of it.
We need to talk about a final song, Deliver Us. One verse says, when a nation starts to lose its hope and tries to bind our freedom with a rope, your light dispels the night, for in your name we fight. Right now, I think that's describing what so many countries are going through. Will Christians succeed while being true to the teachings of Christ?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We've got to understand, that's why we said, you know, deliver us from the evil one. The evil one is all over the world right now. And boy, for a long time, he thought he'd won. But praise God, there are Christians out there, whether he likes it or not, that are seeing the vision of, we can't do it, but our Savior can. And you're seeing churches growing now for the first time in a lot of different areas, including the United States and Canada. And I think it's very important for us to understand, Christians, stand tall, stand strong, be an example to your neighbors, whether they like it or not, because they are looking, they may not know it, but they are looking for some peace that's coming, and they're trying to find it in the wrong directions, and we need to be that shining light that can lead them to the truth.
Absolutely. I think you knew this question was coming, John. In the future, will there be more new music from Petra?
You know, after spending a year doing this record and having it just come out in the last 3 weeks, I'm not thinking that far yet. I think, you know what, let's see where this takes us. Let's see what God does with it. Let's see how it can be used. And if this is the last record we do, I thank Jesus for it, because we didn't go out with a whisper. If there's another record, the circumstances would have to be a little different than they are right in this moment, but who knows what God has in store.
John, it's been a real pleasure having you on The Antidote. Thanks for sharing your time, and have a good run with the new album.
Thank you, Dave. And if you get a chance, please come see the tour. We are going to fill this tour with the new songs, which is a little unusual for us. We don't normally do as many songs as I think we're going to do for a new tour. So, hey, we haven't toured in a long time, so let's tour with a new record. Sounds good.
Do it.
Okay. Well, please come and see us if you can.
For sure.